Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Well, I was reading an article the other day from television station KSHB, Channel 41, in Lawrence, Kansas, and quite frankly, I'm not quite sure how old the story is. But it's an event that happened roughly 20 years ago in a different city. And what happened was a baby girl was born, and her mother immediately put her in a trash bag and put her in a dumpster. If I understand it correctly, this bag was basically at the bottom of the dumpster. Other things got piled in on top of it. And there was a construction worker who, for some reason, was emptying the bags out of the dumpster. And, you know, normally a truck comes in and lifts the dumpster up and dumps it into a bigger bin. But for some reason, he was removing some of the bags. And he hears this muffled cry coming out of the dumpster. And he gets the bag out and finds this child and takes her to the hospital. Well, at the hospital, the nurses named the baby Mary Grace because they said she was a gift from God. And I want you to think about that just a minute. Each child is a gift from God, and He knows their name. Think about that. They may have named the baby Mary Grace. I don't know what God's name for that baby was, but He knew who that baby was. In reading the story, I find that they later located the mother and she was arrested. The father, who didn't even know about the child, was located and he relinquished custody so that the child could be adopted out into a good home. This baby was later adopted by a loving family from another city and she was given a new name. Then we jump ahead 20 years. She's now a grown woman. She knows she's adopted. She knows part of the story. And like a lot of people who have maybe gone through something similar, she would like to meet some of the people who are responsible for saving her life. And one of her wishes is to meet the man who rescued her from the dumpster, the man who took her out of the garbage, out of the trash. And so with the help of a reporter, they were able to locate news stories of the event because the news had been published in the local paper back in the city that this had happened in 20 years earlier. Named the man, it named the hospital, it named some of the nurses. So with this, they were able to start to track down some of the people that were involved in this event. So then the young lady, she's being interviewed by the television station. And it's my understanding as I read the story that they brought in the nurse and introduced her to the nurse that actually, I believe it was the nurse that had named her Mary Grace. And of course, she's excited and thrilled to meet this nurse. But the one thing she wants to meet is she really wants to meet that man who rescued her out of the dump. And then, as video showed in this report, here's an elderly man coming in on crutches, can just barely walk. And he comes in and she's introduced to this man. This is the man that rescued you from the dump 20 years ago. This is the man that helped save your life. And you see the tears begin to flow and the emotion that's taking place and is going on. She first just sits there, almost frozen, it seemed like, with the emotion that was taking place. And then she gets up and she goes over and throws her arms around this man that she's never met before. But this is a man that helped to save her life 20 years earlier. The man who had saved her from certain death in the garbage. And as I was reading this story and viewing some of the video of it, I began to think about this event and how in many ways it really kind of relates to everyone. Oh, maybe when we were born, our parents didn't throw us in the garbage. They took us home to a loving home, and we were given everything that they could possibly give us. But yet in reality, all of us in some way or another has been thrown into the garbage pile of sin. Think about that. We're born, and I have friends that have recently had children or grandchildren, and I see some of them post their pictures on Facebook, and I think about that and how excited they are to have this new child in their life, and they're going to do everything they can for that child. But yet, in a way, that child has still been thrown into the garbage pile of sin. Because Romans chapter 5, verse 12 tells us, here, and I'm reading from the Complete Jewish Bible today, here's how it works. It was through one individual that sin entered into the world, and through sin, death. And in this way, death passed through the whole human race, inasmuch as everyone has sinned. That innocent little baby was born into sin, into the garbage pile, the dump of sin. And just as that baby that we were talking about 20 years ago did not ask to be thrown into the trash or into the dumpster, neither did we, when we were born, be asked to be thrown into the garbage pile of sin. But just as that children's song that many of us sang if we went to church when we were children, and there are two versions of that song, but just as it starts off red and yellow, and the original version black, brown, white, well, that affects all of us. Doesn't matter the color of our skin. It doesn't matter the station of life that we were born into. It doesn't matter the country we were born in. We all ended up in that same trash heap of sin, headed for an eternal destiny. The destiny of sin is not a pleasant thing. It's not a place that we want to go to. And I know there are people out there today that like to flaunt their sin. Oh, look at me, I'm a sinner. I'm the best sinner there is out there. Some people like to really think that they're the best at being a sinner that you can be. But there's always someone that outdoes them. And they like to think that they're going to hell because they're going to party with all their friends. It's not going to happen that way. Hell's not going to be a party. It's not going to be a place of happy reunions. It's not going to be a place where you get together with your buddies and live life to its fullest, so to speak. It's going to be a place of torment, a place of sadness, a place of sorrow. And it goes on for an eternity. That's what sin has in store for us. That's what the garbage pile has in store for us. And just as I personally believe the hand of God guided that construction worker to take the bags out of the dumpster the way he did, so that he found the baby. And by the way, the baby was, as I understand it, in the bottom of the pile in the dumpster. She had no injuries. She had a little indentation on her forehead from where something had pressed against her skin, but that went away. So just as he rescued her, God sent someone. God sent a Savior to rescue us from that garbage pile of sin. John chapter 3, verse 16, again reading from the Complete Jewish Bible, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only and unique Son, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life instead of being utterly destroyed." Think about that. That's what sin does. It destroys you. It does not uplift you. It does not make you a better person. It does not do things that will prepare you and have you ready for eternity. Instead, it brings forth things in your life that will cause you to be, as this says, utterly destroyed. God sent a Savior. He sent a rescuer. And some of us learn who that rescuer was at an early age. And some of you here may have become a Christian at an early age. You may have accepted that Savior at an early age. For others, we learn who that Savior is later on in life. But unfortunately, some never learn about the Savior at all. Or they hear about him, but they reject him. That Savior, whose name in Hebrew is Yeshua, in English it's Jesus, and other languages it may be other pronunciations, but he is the Savior. He is the Lord that came to save us. He is the one that came and gave his life on the cross of Calvary that we could have forgiveness of sin. And he told us in John chapter 14, verse 6, and it says, "Jesus said unto him, I am the way, and that truth, and that life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the only Savior. He didn't send Muhammad to save us. He didn't send Buddha to save us. He didn't send Hare Krishna, which was popular back several years ago, to save us. He didn't send David Koresh or Jim Jones or some of these other people that have been out there to save us. He sent his Son, Jesus, to rescue us from that garbage pile, that dump of sin. And I know some people, as they go down the path of life, at some point you feel like even then that you've been thrown into the trash heap of despair and that life has no meaning for you. Some people feel like there's no way out. Some people take their lives because they think there's no way out. But instead, the event that they commit themselves to takes them deeper into the trash heap. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in an accepted time, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now is the day to accept what the Savior has done for you, that he has given his life. He has shed his blood for the sacrifice for your sin, that you could be a child of God. You could be rescued from that garbage pile of sin. And I know sometimes, even as a Christian, the enemy comes along and he tries to convince us that we've been thrown back into the garbage. And there are a lot of people, they've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They've been serving God. They've been going to church. But the enemy comes along and begins to launch an attack against them and convince them, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. You're worthless. You're a nobody. You might as well just turn your back on God and walk away. And there are people that listen to what the enemy has to say and do that. They turn their back on that rescuer and they walk away. They turn their back on that Savior and listen to what the enemy has to say. But the Apostle Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober and watch, for your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The devil will do his best to devour you. Even though you may be a child of God, the devil wants to devour you. He wants to cause you to fall. He wants to cause you to turn your back on God. But just as that baby girl 20 years ago had a reunion with the man who saved her from certain death, one of these days, we are going to have a reunion with our Savior. You know, I told you how emotional it was watching that video of her reunion with that man who had rescued her from the dump, from that garbage pile. We're going to have a reunion with our Savior, the one who saved us from the sin that we were born into, the sin that was going to utterly destroy us. One of these days, that joyous reunion is going to take place. And we are going to see our Savior face to face. Think about that. She was so excited and so emotional when she saw this man. Just think about what an emotional time it's going to be when we see Jesus face to face. Jesus himself, as it's recorded in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. I know the King James says mansions. I don't care about a mansion. Just a dwelling place there. That's what he's promised, as a dwelling place. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. And guess what? It goes on to say, I go to prepare a place for you. You, anyone who has been rescued by him, anyone who has accepted the work that he did for us on the cross of Calvary, he has prepared a place for you. He goes on in verse 3 to say, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may ye be also. I'm going to come again for you, and you're going to be with me. And guess how long that's going to be for? It's going to be for eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I could keep saying that till the cows come home, as they say, and it's still going to be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Because he loves us. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11 says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, for a cloud took him up out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as ye have seen him go into heaven. He's coming back. He's coming again. When is he coming? I don't know. I just know that he's coming. And guess what? He's coming for me. He's coming for you if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's going to be that glorious reunion day. I remember part of the words of a song we used to sing many years ago. Glad day, glad reunion day, that day that we're going to be reunited with our Savior. What a joyous occasion that's going to be. And whether you're listening to me today in this church auditorium or by CD or by messages on demand, however it is that you're hearing this message, we all started out in that trash heap of sin. We all started out that way. But we have a Savior out there. His name is Jesus. He wants to save us. Some of us have accepted that Savior, Jesus. And He has become our rescuer. He's become our Redeemer. He's become our salvation. He's become the one that we're going to be reunited with some glorious day. But there are some that are listening to me today that have not accepted Him. They've not accepted Jesus as Savior. They've not accepted Him as their rescuer. And if you've not accepted Him, I want you to know that now is the time to accept Him. Because we have no guarantee of tomorrow. You can be here one moment and deceased, dead, the next. There are people that get up every day with plans in their lives of what they're going to do, but they never get them completed because death knocks at their door that very day. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." The wages of sin, death, were thrown into the garbage pile of sin and eternal separation from God. No chance after that. Once death has knocked at your door, there is no chance. No opportunity. But when we accept the Savior, we're born into that eternal kingdom then, a child of God, part of His family. I talked about rejoicing and how that young lady rejoiced and had such great emotion when she saw the man who had rescued her. Luke chapter 15, verse 10 says this, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented." Think about it. You that have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says the moment you accepted Him and He came into your life, the angels of heaven begin to rejoice and say, whatever your name is, has come home. They've repented. They've accepted Jesus. I remember many years ago, I had a second cousin whose name was Barbara. Barbara had polio at an early age in her life. She grew up and spent all of her life with the effects of polio. There were things that Barbara couldn't do. But one thing Barbara was, she was a strong Christian. She accepted Jesus as her Savior at an early age. And she was a person who influenced many people's lives. And I don't remember right offhand how old Barbara was at the time she went home to be with the Lord. But as I was asked to officiate at her funeral service, and what God laid on my heart to speak was part to do with this. as I got up and began to talk about that, I said, just the other day, the angels of heaven were gathering around. And they were rejoicing and saying, Barbara has come home. Barbara's home. Have you heard the news? Barbara's home. And so it is, I believe, when that person accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible tells us this is so, that the angels then begin to say, whatever that person's name is, they've accepted Jesus as their Savior. Have you heard the news? They've accepted Jesus as their Savior. And such rejoicing takes place on the streets of heaven. And for those that are listening to me today that are outside of this auditorium and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm here to tell you now is the time. And it's so simple. It's not some certain rigmarole that you've got to go through and certain things that you've got to do. It's simply asking Jesus to come into your heart and repenting of your sin. Saying, I'm sorry for my sin. And maybe you're what some people would call a big sinner, and what some other people would call a little sinner. Maybe you've really done not a whole lot of wrong things in your life, but you're still in sin. And you've said, Jesus, I repent of my sin. Come into my heart and into my life today. He'll do that when you ask Him to. Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Come into my heart. Come into my life today. He'll do that. He'll make you a new person. Angels will begin to rejoice because you have done that. And if you're listening to me, as I said outside this auditorium, and you want to know more about the things of God, you want to know more about salvation, you want to read some verses about it, you want to know more about our Savior, you can go to our website at www.tlhf.us. There's a link on there that says salvation, and it gives you some verses and will help you and guide you in your walk with Jesus Christ. And Father, today as we close this message, and Father, we ask for those that may have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior as they've listened to this message. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would guide them and direct them. And Father, that You would give them the knowledge that they need. And Father, we thank You that You loved us so much that You sent Jesus to pay the price for our sin, to rescue us from that garbage pile of sin. And Father, we're also thankful that one of these days that we're going to have that glorious reunion, that joyous occasion where we will see Him face to face. Father, we're so thankful for that today. And Father, we give You praise and we give You glory for all that You've done in our lives. For we ask it all in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.